Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
So today I'm going to give a real foundational teaching, and I try to figure out what to call this. And I'm going to call it Storms 101. I'm trying to open this. How many were in that storm Friday? Or was it? It was Thursday around 4 o'clock. That was something, eh? And there are two kinds of storms in life. The ones you see coming, you know, your phone was going off. Take cover, tornado. You know, the weather's like, okay, be careful. There's a storm going to hit around 3 o'clock. And you're kind of preparing. And, you know, if you're home, you're moving your patio furniture and you're moving your plants into the garage so they don't get all torn apart and thrown through the yard. But other times, storms come right out of left field. And there is no warning. There's no alert on your phone. But out of nowhere, there it is. 1 minute, everything's fine. And the next minute, it isn't. Ever been in one of those storms? I think we all have. And I don't know what your storm is. But I know sometimes the telephone can ring. And your beautiful day is instantly in a tornado. A relationship falls apart. Your job disappears. Your financial situation changes. The door you thought God was opening slams shut in your face. Those are storms that we face. And sometimes the storms aren't always outside. Sometimes the storms are in here. And those kind of storms, man, we hide them well, don't we? How are you? Praise the Lord. Never been better. And you're like, oh, this sucks. I didn't want to come here today. Oh, this is so hard. And then somebody gives their testimony about something and you think, oh, must be nice. God's doing something for them. Like, do you even remember? You know, something's going on in here when we're smiling on the outside. And we can be smiling on the outside and crying on the inside. Those are storms. So the question for us as Christians isn't so much whether, as Christians, we will face storms, because we know we will. The question is, what will you hold on to when the storm comes? You will encounter one. And all of it. You need to be anchored. And in Hebrews 6, 19 and 20, we have that beautiful picture of that scripture we quote so much that says, we have hope as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. Notice it doesn't say that hope is the sail. It says hope's the anchor. It doesn't say hope is the motor. It says hope is the anchor. It doesn't say hope's that lifeboat. No, hope is the anchor. An anchor doesn't make the sea calm. It doesn't make the wind stop. It doesn't make your waves disappear. But an anchor does something different. An anchor keeps you from drifting. And sometimes God's greatest work in your life isn't immediately calming the storm, but sometimes it's keeping you anchored while you're in the middle of it. The purpose of the anchor isn't to make the storm disappear. The purpose of the anchor is to keep the storm from moving you. An anchor keeps you from going where you don't belong. And so I want to start, let's go there in a minute. Often the storm isn't what's destroying you. Sometimes it's where you're drifting when you're in a storm. Let's just say you experience betrayal. Okay, so betrayal's the storm you're working through. Well, at first you're hurt. And then you become angry. You're drifting. And then you stop trusting people. And you're drifting. And then you stop going to church. Because you're drifting. And soon you stop praying. Because you're drifting. And even though the original storm was betrayal, you've drifted yourself into isolation. Isolation is not your storm. The betrayal was. but you weren't anchored. And so you began to drift and drift and drift. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to do some basic Storms 101. And I want to read a big chunk of scripture. I think this is probably the easiest way to do it. It's probably a familiar passage. It's the story of Paul when he was in the storm in Acts 27. So I just want to read through that, and then I want to kind of tear it apart. So we're going to start there. I've got really bad feedback echo on my mic today. Should I move it further away, maybe? So I'm going to Acts 27. I'm going to read this out of, this is the message. And I'm going to start around, all right, let's start around verse 9, and we'll just read through together quickly. By this time, we had lost a lot of time. We had passed the autumn equinox, and it would be stormy weather from now on through the winter, too dangerous for sailing. And Paul warned, "I see only disaster ahead for cargo and ship, to say nothing of our lives, if we put out to sea now." But it was not the best harbor for staying the winter. Phoenix, a few miles further on, was more suitable. The centurion set Paul's warning aside and let the ship captain and the ship owner talk him into trying for the next harbor. And when a gentle southerly breeze came up, they weighed anchor, thinking it would be smooth sailing. But they were no sooner out to sea than a gale forced wind, the infamous northeaster, struck. They all lost control of the ship. It was a cork in the storm. We came under the lee of the small island near Clauda and managed to get a lifeboat ready and reef the sails. But the rocky shoals prevented us from getting closer. We only managed to avoid them by throwing out drift anchors. The next day, out on the high seas again and badly damaged now by the storm, we dumped the cargo overboard. The third day, the sailors lightened the ship further by throwing off all the tackle and provisions. It had been many days since we had seen neither sun nor stars. Wind and waves were battering us unmercifully, and we lost all hope of rescue. With our appetite for both food and life long gone, Paul took his place in our midst and said, "Friends, you really should have listened to me back there in Crete. We would have avoided all this trouble and trial, but there's no need to dwell on that now. From now on, things are looking up. I can assure you that there will not be a single drowning among us. Although I can't say as much for the ship, the ship itself is doomed. Last night, God's angel stood by my side, an angel of this God I serve, saying to me, 'Don't give up, Paul. You're going to stand before Caesar yet, and everyone sailing with you is also going to make it. So, dear friends, take heart. I believe God will do exactly what he told me. But we're going to shipwreck on some island or other.' On the 14th night adrift, somewhere on the Adriatic Sea, at about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. Sounding, they measured a depth of 120 feet, and shortly after that, 90 feet. Afraid that they were about to run aground, they threw out four anchors and prayed for daylight. Some of the sailors tried to jump ship. They let down the lifeboat, pretended they were going to set out more anchors from the bow. Paul saw through their guise and told the centurion and his soldiers, 'If these sailors don't stay with the ship, we're all going down.' So the soldiers cut the lines to their lifeboat and let it drift off. With dawn about to break, Paul called everyone together and proposed breakfast. 'This is the 14th day we've gone without food. None of us has felt like eating, but I urge you to eat something now. You'll need strength for the rescue ahead. You're going to come out of this without even a scratch.' He broke bread, gave thanks to God, passed it around, and they all ate heartily, 276 of us all told. With the meal finished and everyone full, the ship was further lightened by dumping the grain overboard. And at daybreak, no one recognized the land. But when they did notice a bay with a nice beach, they decided to try and run the ship up on the beach. They cut the anchors, loosened the tiller, raised the sail, and ran before the wind and ran before the wind toward the beach. But we didn't make it. Still far from shore, we hit a reef, and the ship began to break up. The soldiers decided to kill the prisoners so no one would escape, so none could escape by swimming. But the centurion determined to save Paul stopped them. He gave them orders for anyone who could swim to dive in and go for it. And for the rest, grab a plank. And everyone made it safely to shore. We know, we've read that story. There's so much revelation in it. It's crazy. But the first thing we have to understand, you can be in the will of God and in a storm. Paul was being transported by a ship towards Rome. He wasn't in the storm because he was running from God. He was actually going where he was supposed to go. He was following the will of God for his life. And sometimes that's the hardest thing. It's like, what the heck is going on? I thought I was in the will of God. God told me to do this, and you end up in a storm. But that's how it is. You can be in the will of God, and you can still be in a storm. He had a promised destination and a purpose. And he ended up in a storm. And that's important because sometimes we have this idea that if we're really following God, everything's supposed to be smooth. Not true. Not true. Not true. Not true. We can be in the middle of God, and sometimes, do you know the storm is actually part of the journey? It's part of the journey that God has to get you where he's told you to go. So we have to stop looking at it like it's some it is a horrible thing. They're hard, but it doesn't mean every storm is not the enemy. Some of the storms are part of the process and part of the journey that God has put in our life to get us where we need to go. And there is a storm between your promise and your destination. Most times, if not all the time. Number two, the storm can make you lose sight of where you're going. In Acts, in verse 18, the sailors began throwing things overboard to lighten the ship. They tried to secure it. They lowered equipment. They were fighting for survival. And in verse 20, it says something powerful. I want to find it in this other version. It says in verse 20, I'm trying to get used to a new Bible, and it's really hard when you're used to your old one, and the new ones, all the pages stick. It's awful. But praise the Lord. You know, it's just, oh. But the cover and the pages are, I couldn't. I tried to bring it, but it's tied together with elastics. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Think about that. All hope was taken away. They couldn't see the sun. They couldn't see the stars. They did not know what direction they were going. You ever been there? And they didn't know what was on the horizon and what was coming next. And that's what storms do. Storms will mess with your vision. When you're in a storm long enough, you can forget what God told you. You can forget what he promised. You can forget what he's already done. You can forget how many times he's brought you through before. Because the storm gets so loud, it drowns out the voice of God. And the waves get so high, you can't see beyond them. And suddenly your circumstances become louder than the voice of God. And what we need to remember is that just because you can't see the sun doesn't mean it's not shining. And just because the stars aren't out doesn't mean they're out somewhere else. And when we're in that place, we often default to the thinking that God isn't doing anything. But just because you can't see God at work doesn't mean God's not at work. And usually it's in those times that the most work is being done. Muscle strength is getting built. Faith muscles are getting built. you know, fruit of the Spirit is being developed in us, and it seems like God just abandoned us and nothing's happening. And under the surface, there's all kinds of things happening. So the absence of seeing that God is working doesn't mean he is. Isn't. Because faith is believing that God is still God in the storm, regardless of what you see. Number three is that everybody else, when everybody else loses hope, God's people still have hope. That is the difference between us as believers and the rest of the world. When we have crisis, when we have storms, we still have hope. We have an anchor. Paul was different than everybody else on the ship. Everybody else was panicking. Everybody else was afraid. Everyone else had lost hope. And what does Paul do in verse 22? He stands up and he says, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but only of the ship. What a statement. What a statement. The ship's falling apart, the wind is blowing, the waves are crashing, people are terrified. And Paul says, hey, cheer up, guys. Why could he say that? Because Paul had received a word from God. Remember, it says in verse 23, there stood beside me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I don't want to miss that. Paul knows who he belongs to, and he knows where his help comes from and where his hope is. And that is the anchor. When everything around you is unstable, there is something stable on the inside of you, like there was for Paul. And that hope has a name. Do you remember his name? His name is Jesus. That's right. I was thinking about this verse when I was studying this in Philippians 4, 11 and 12. And Paul says this. He says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. That is a definition of a person who is anchored on the inside. He knows who he is, and he knows who he was, and none of his circumstances moved him from that. So whether it was great or whether it wasn't, I know who I belong to, and I know who I am. And I'm telling you, that revelation and that anchor will keep you in the worst of storms, in the worst of storms. And the other thing you have to understand, number four, would be your anchor has to be deeper than your circumstance. If your hope is only anchored in your circumstance, your hope will move every time your circumstance changes. So if your hope is anchored into your money, what happens when money gets tight? And if your hope is anchored in your health, what happens if your diagnosis changes? And if your hope is anchored in a relationship, what happens if that relationship becomes difficult? You have to be anchored in something deeper than your circumstance. Your circumstances were never designed to carry the weight of your hope. Your hope, your circumstances were never designed to carry the weight of your hope. Only God can carry that weight. It's an anchor of the soul because storms just don't attack your situation. Storms attack your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. And a storm will attack your peace and your confidence and your identity and your faith. And that's why your anchor has to go deeper than what's happening around you. Number five, the anchor is not the absence of a storm. That is something we must understand. When a ship drops an anchor, the anchor doesn't make the water disappear. The waves are still there. The wind is still there. The ship is still moving. But there's a limit on how far that ship will drift when it's anchored. That's what hope does. It almost, dropping an anchor will give you boundaries in the storm and keep you from drifting. So if the storm says, give up, hope's going to say, keep going. And when the storm says, God's forgotten you, hope says, God is still faithful. The storm says, this is the end. Hope says, but God's not finished yet. The storm's going to tell you, you're going under, you're going to die. And hope says, wait a minute, I'm anchored. You might shake, you might cry, you might have questions, you might not understand, but you are anchored. And there's a difference between struggling and those battles and drifting, a big difference. You can struggle without drifting, you can cry without drifting, you can be afraid without drifting, you can have questions and still not be drifting. Faith doesn't mean you never feel the storm. Faith means the storm doesn't get to determine where you ultimately go. That's a big difference. Faith doesn't mean you never feel the storm. That's called denial. You know, the, oh, wonderful. What? No, actually, right now, things are tough. Man, they're really hard. But I'm glad this too shall pass, and I'm not alone, man. God saw this. God's with me in it. I don't know where the heck he is because he looks like he's invisible and like checking out somewhere else. But I'm anchored, and I know somehow I'm going to get through this. Today, in this moment, I don't know how, but I know I will. Because I know who I am, and I know he's for me, and he's got a plan to get me out, and I'm staying anchored. So yeah, I feel like I'm drifting, but I'm not. I'm anchored, and my boat's still rocking a little bit. I'm gonna skip that one. I'm gonna tell you that sometimes you have to drop your anchor. There's something interesting in this story. In verse 29, the sailors fear that they're going to hit rocks. And so they begin to cast out. They cast out four anchors in each direction. Because the storm was so violent, they needed something to hold them tight and prevent them from drifting. And there are times in the storms of life where you've got to make a quality decision. I'm going to anchor myself. I'm going to anchor myself to the word. I don't care if it's one verse or if it's just getting in the word and thinking about the word so that you're not replaying this trial over and over and over. And what if, and what are we going to do with, and what are we, and how about we begin to anchor ourselves in the word and start to talk about the word. God's with me. I'm not alone. I'm not forsaken. Like, get yourself anchored in the word. You might have to anchor yourself in prayer and begin to pray. You might have to pray in tongues because you don't know what to pray. And your emotions are, you know, there's a storm raging in here. Well, then you pray in tongues because you don't have to know what you're praying. You're praying in tongues and your spirit knows what you need and that happens. You might have to anchor yourself in God's character and remembering what God has already done. And remind yourself, hey, wait a minute, I remember when. Hey, you know what? Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember last time I didn't have a job and I thought the company was going to close and God made a way and they shifted me into another department and I kept my job. So 5 years later, I'm laid off. Guess what? God had me there. He has me now. But the problem is because the storm is so loud, sometimes we forget. And that's why it's so important that we don't drift into isolation. Because if there ever a time you need people around you, it's in a storm. Because it's those people who are going to remind you when you forget. Hey, remember when that happened and God did that and we saw, yep. And you remember, oh, I remember when, remember that time and God, yep. And so it's the people around you that remind you about who God is when you can't see anymore. It's darkness. There's no sun, there's no stars, but the people that you surround yourself with are going to carry you through and remind you about who you are. Girl, you got this. This ain't too hard for you. Do you know how many things you've had to handle already? This is nothing. Girl, you got this. Come on. Come on, girl. And sometimes we got to talk to our friends like that, right? Sometimes we got, you got to get in the mirror. Someone challenged me, I haven't done it yet. 10 minutes in front of a mirror. Imagine 10 minutes just in front of a mirror and start, okay, you know what? You got this. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to very soon. As soon as I get the guts to do it, that's a big challenge. But sometimes, yeah, and if you don't have a friend to talk it, then I guess you talk it to yourself, right? Yeah, it's about saying, refusing in your mind and making a quality decision, I'm not going to drift. I'm not going to let fear make my decisions. I'm not going to let anxiety determine my future. I'm not going to let past disappointments determine my theology. You know, because I used to believe in healing. And then my husband died. Did that change my theology? No, but it does. We can pray, but we don't always know because, you know, like we prayed for my aunt and she had cancer and she died. So all of a sudden your theology gets, you have to decide what you're going to believe about God. And if you're going to believe the word and if you're not going to believe the word. But we cannot let our disappointments determine our theology. Because then our theology is always going to change based on our circumstances, what's happening in our life, whether a prayer got answered or whether it didn't. It didn't. Our theology needs to be our theology. Either God is good and God is for us or he isn't. I mean, to me, it's really simple. It's not complicated. Yeah, so then why, if I believe that, did Glenn die? Well, ain't that a loaded question? That's another preach for another day. Doesn't mean we don't have questions in the middle of it, right? But you understand that the anchor is connected to something outside of the ship. This is perhaps the most important part of the picture. The anchor only works because it's connected to something stronger. And if you threw that anchor and it hit the deck, is it going to work? Nope. If you took that anchor and you tied it to something that was floating in the water, would it work? And hold on to something. And that's why Hebrews 6 gives us that picture of hope being an anchor to our soul. It's connected to something greater. Our hope is anchored in God's presence and his promise to us as his children. Our hope, ultimately, it's not anchored in what we can see or cannot see. It's our hope is anchored in the person of Jesus. And that's a wonderful place to have your anchor. And it's the only place to have your anchor. Because our hope is not just a concept, it's a name. And the reason our hope is secure, and the reason that you and I can endure a storm, and that death doesn't have a final word, and failure doesn't have a final word, and our past doesn't have the final word, is because Jesus does, because hope has a name. And I want you to understand that the ship may break, but God's purpose doesn't. God told Paul that everyone would survive. Eventually, though, the ship broke apart. And in verse 41, it says, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken into pieces by the pounding surf. They lost the ship, but they didn't lose their life. Sometimes we need to understand that we can lose a ship and still make it to shore. Your husband can die, and you can still make it to shore. And you know what happens when you get on shore? You start building again. You start building again. And you start building again, piece by piece, little by little. And you rest from the storm. And you take a break from the wear and tear of the storm had on your body. And they hadn't eaten for 14 days and all of that. And they take time. Are we going to build another ship? We do all that stuff. But then guess what? God says, okay, now I need you to, guess what? Get on another ship and go on another mission. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a storm. Because that's the cycle of the Christian life. Welcome. I'm glad you gave your life to Jesus. But that's how it is. Okay, I'm going to skip some stuff. I'm watching the clock. Okay, I want to, this, I'll skip over things, but verse 43 and 44. It said, this, God can get you to shore in ways you didn't expect. It says that in verse 43 and 44, it says, the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. And he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard and swim and get to land. And the rest in verse 44 said, were on planks and pieces of the ship. And in that way, everyone reached land safely. I love it. Some people swam. Some people got a plank. Some people got a broken piece of who knows what. It reminds me of the Titanic, right? When they're all floating. Everybody has a different experience. But every single one of them experiences the faithfulness of God. Same, your storm and your story and how you get to shore is different than mine and different from the person beside you. You might have jumped in and swam. You might have been on a plank. You might have had a lifeboat. You might have had to doggy paddle. I don't know. But the problem is a lot of times when you're in a storm, we start comparing. Well, how come she's got a lifeboat and she's like suntanning on her way to shore? And how come I've got this, you know, this log that I'm like got a bear hug to just, we do. We get in this comparison thing even in our trials. And then we think, well, God must like her more than me. And what's wrong with them? And man, if what did they do to get, we do all that stuff. We do. Let's face it. You ever do that? Comparison, jealousy. Man, that didn't last very long. I've been in this for a lot longer than them. How did they get to shore so fast? This is so unfair, God. How do you? Do you know there was a time that a guy got our miracle? I don't know if I ever told you about that. That was back in the 90s when all the move of God was happening. And there was this guy we knew and he was a type 1 diabetic. And of course, we're believing for Glenn's eyes. We're believing for his diabetes. We're believing, we're praying. We're doing, I was crazy. Like I told you, every time I went to church, I tell him, this is what I'm wearing. If we get split up, look for me. Because he didn't know what I looked like. And we go to church one day. This guy comes to give this testimony. He's off insulin. He's totally healed. This guy was not nearly as spiritual as Glenn and I. He was not running home groups. He was not part of church leadership. I'm like, how does he rate getting our miracle? Man, I copped a toot. I'm not kidding you. I copped a toot. But let's be honest, we do that kind of stuff, don't we? Huh, how did they get to buy a house? We've been trying to buy a house. We do, come on, we do. Yeah, he got our miracle. All the people are laughing, no, because they've been there and done something like it, right? And hope doesn't say there's not going to be another storm. Because, you know, remember the Bible talks about tribulation and cheer up. You will in this life, you will have tribulations, it says. Uh-huh, there are. Because storms are part of life. But our hope is in whatever happens, God will be with me. Even when I walk through the valley, he is with me. Even if a ship breaks, God can still get me to shore. So the question is, what do you do if you find yourself shifting? Drifting, that's what I want to talk about, but I might not have time, I have 5 minutes. This morning, when I was up looking at this, because this is totally different than how I usually teach, and this is just where I felt to go. But I don't know why, I thought, and even last night, I texted Ellen, I said, I'm not really comfortable with my teaching. I don't have a lot of personal, usually I have lots of personal stories, I wasn't feeling it. I asked the Lord even before I went to bed, how does this apply to my life? Like practically, give me some examples. And this morning, I don't know why, I sat at the computer and I realized that caregiving is like living in a constant storm. And so I lived it for 27 years. And so this entire message has a bit of a different application for caregivers because you never get out of the storm. There's just different degrees of it. And so if you are a caregiver currently, if you've been a caregiver, whether that's to a spouse, to a child, to an aging parent, could you tell me that that's you in the room? Oh, there's lots of you. Okay. I have this, and it just came to me today while we were in church. I would like to do a session, a meeting, a night, and bring everybody in that situation together. Or you just walked out of caregiving, like I've been almost 7 years out of it. I really think there's something in here to help us as caregivers that's very unique. For example, I'll give you one little teaser, and then if you want that, see me and we'll get it arranged. Living as a caregiver is like surviving a lifelong storm at sea, where the weather dictates your entire reality and you are constantly adapting to changing, unpredictable elements. You learn to navigate the open sea during a perpetual storm. And there are varying degrees of waves. So you have gentle swells, and those are your good days where everything's routine, the water's moving, you're still trapped on a boat, but the rhythm is manageable. You know, you got your head above water. You can catch your breath, you clean the deck, you know, you might even have time to go for groceries and restock the ship, but you never leave the ship. It's a different kind of living in a perpetual storm that caregiving gives to your life, and then when it suddenly ends and you're at shore, a whole different dynamic. I really believe there's something in there that God wants to share to specifically to caregivers, those coming out of caregiving, those going into caregiving, and if an opportunity, we can do it an evening, a night, my house, I don't care. I feel really strongly about it because that's it's a whole preach I wrote this morning. But what do you do when you're drifting and you can feel yourself drifting? We've got to remember God's word. We've got to remember God's faithfulness. We've got to look back and look to what he's done before and look forward. Wait a minute. God's got a purpose for this. We've got to stay connected to God's people. We talked about the importance of people reminding us when we can't remember ourselves. And our friends, the body of Christ around us, can see what we can't when we're in the middle of the storm. It reminds me when I used to guide Glenn, you know, let's just say we would go horseback riding, okay? Not the best thing to do to put a blind guy on the horse behind you, but I would lead. So we were riding this time out west, and I would say, okay, forward, yeah, okay, just go left, like, you know, go left, go left, go left. Okay, go straight, duck, because there was a metal clothesline. I didn't want him to cut his head off. But it's kind of like that. You're like the guide to the blind person because they're in the storm, right? And you don't want them like fall. And if you don't guide them, you see them headed right for a pit, right? And you think, no, I love you too much to let you fall in a pit. So come on, let's go right a bit. Let's go wide right. Okay, there we go around it. It's much like that. So yeah, I'd love to talk about that kind of stuff. But when you're drifting, keep worshiping. There's something about getting in worship that lets everything else fall away and changes your perspective and kind of like, you know, cleans the smudge off your glasses a little bit. And then we've got to keep our eyes on the promise. You see, don't focus on the waves. Don't focus on the storm. Don't focus on, oh my God, how many days have we been here? This is day 13. I don't know if I can do another day. You can. I didn't think I'd do another day. I did 27 years. So it's possible. Easy? Not always. Possible? Yes. And so I guess I want to encourage you to say, stay anchored. Stay anchored in God and ride it out because this too shall pass. And then another one will come. But this too shall pass. And there'll be a little honeymoon. Like those guys got married yesterday. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Oh, yeah. Until they have their first disagreement. And he squeezes the toothpaste. Do you know a tube of toothpaste nearly cost me my marriage in the beginning? Like, why can you not just squeeze the tube? Can you, how do you dentist squeeze the tube? From, of course he does. Yeah, Glenn was a bottom squeezer too. Okay, and then as you squeeze from the bottom and the tube is half empty, you kind of roll the end, right? Okay, so according to the dentist, this is the proper way to handle your toothpaste. Well, I just like squeeze it. That thing, we fought about that. I'm not kidding you. Why do you always, you know, I don't care. But it mattered to him. And I remember even talking to my mom. I was 21 when I got, I said, we're fighting over toothpaste. She said, take your troubles home. You don't come here with them. Come back with your troubles. And then I got this really good revelation. Two tubes of toothpaste. You each had your own. And we could both squeeze how we wanted, and it settled it. But, you know, those are the kind of things that irritate, right? Oh, and I didn't really want to use his because he never put it on his brush because it was really hard to see, right, where the toothpaste is. So he'd squirt the toothpaste in his mouth and then brush. So I was like, that's probably like he liked the bottom squeeze, right? But anyway, we could go on about those stories. But anyway, yeah, storms, they're tough, they're hard. And I could have told you a whole story about the job I'm at now that God called me to. According to Claude, he said, I'm supposed to take this job. And I only take the jobs Claude tells me to take. So, can I say this? It's been hell for a year and a half. And I'm telling you, I've been on Indeed looking for other things. Thinking I'm going to jump ship because man, oh man, the pressure, the storm, the unbelievable false accusations, accused of stealing money. I mean, it is beyond anything. And I've had to ride that wave out. And now I'm just, you know, I'm just about the shore. I'm on that plank and I'm floating. But the good news is there's something real big already built waiting for me on shore. So it's just a matter of, you know, hanging on a little bit longer. But yeah, it's tough. And it doesn't mean because God's, I just thought, oh, this is great. It's going to be so much better. In some ways it has, but in some ways, oh my God, what was I thinking? You know, so praise God for that. So I just will pray that we stay anchored. I'm 3 minutes past. But please come and see me. I would love to organize something about caregiving and storms. And I mean, I've been on both sides of it, and I'm in the journey of walking it out. And it's almost 7 years, and I'm still learning about it and have moments, you know. Like, yeah, it's tough. All right? Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you that you, Jesus, are the hope that we can anchor ourselves to. And, Lord, we ask that for those of us in a storm right now, that you would remind us that we are not alone, that you are with us, and that we can rest in the knowledge that we are anchored to you. And Lord, I pray that you would calm the waves, that even in the storm, that there would be some moments of peace for people to feel like they can catch their breath for a minute before they continue. And Lord, I pray that you would give them vision to see where they're going and that you would alight again in them the call you've had for each one, where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing. And if they've lost sight of that in this storm, that you would just reignite their vision again to see clearly where they are. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.